Blessing and peace on you. Troy Brewer here coming at you strong from upstairs, a third stage ranch in big time Glen Rose, Texas, amongst dinosaur tracks and general greatness. I call you blessed in Jesus' name and welcome to my podcast. If you're listening to this, and obviously you are, see, you already know I'm prophetic because I know that you're listening. I know that you're listening. If that prophetic word I just gave you is absolutely true, I want you to know that you're going to love this today. I'm in the studio here today. Not just with me, and I typically enjoy my own company, but I'm not here today all by myself. I'm actually in here today with my good friend, Brother Jamie Galloway. How are you, my friend?
Hey, great, man. Good to be here with you, Troy.
Man, thanks so much for coming in, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm so grateful.
It's always a pleasure.
Man, I want to tell you, you know, your voice makes you sound like you're like 7'2", and people would laugh if they saw what you actually look like. I don't know if anybody really knows what you
He's
look
only
like.
3 foot tall.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's absolutely true.
Hey, I'm like a Benjamin Button, only backwards.
A Benjamin Button. Okay, dude, so you woke up in Nashville this morning?
I woke up in Nashville. That's probably why my voice sounds so different. I had to fly all this way to meet you and hang out, and so we're having fun.
Well, I'm glad you're here, brother. Thank you so much, man. And I just... Before we introduce our guest that you brought with you. So you've been all over the world and God's been doing amazing things. It's 2020, right?
2020, man.
And we're actually, whenever we get done with all these podcasts, man, we're going to be doing some, what do we call it? Our 2020 toolkit,
yeah,
right?
2020 toolkit.
How to live with God prophetically in the year to come. It's going to be great,
yeah,
man. Hey, listen, I'm looking forward to this. I'm especially grateful for who you brought. And I've wanted to meet this guy for a long time. And I told him today when I saw him, man, I feel like a little girl. Just, I can't believe you're here. So why don't you help me introduce this brother? Who is this guy? And how in the world do you know him? What has this guy been a part of?
You know, I met Larry Randolph, actually, back in St. Louis, way back in the day. And I was just a teenager at that time. But a man that many of your listeners might know, Randy Clark.
Yep.
Dr. Randy Clark now. And he was pastoring at that time in St. Louis, and he would have Larry Randolph in quite regularly because he was such a respected, and still is such a respected prophetic voice. And so I met Larry back in that time. And then we started doing conferences and prophetic schools together back in mid-2000s, and just been running together ever since. And so Larry Randolph.
Well, I can't go anywhere that people don't ask me, hey, man, do you know Larry? There's two people that everybody asks me, do you know this guy? Because you guys are cut out of the same cloth, and it's Ray Hughes and Larry Randolph. That's two guys. Now, you probably know Ray Hughes.
Very well, okay. Yeah. But I'm not Larry the Cable Guy, by the way.
Ray Hughes, I'm such a fanboy of Ray Hughes.
Oh,
and I've never met him.
Funniest guy in the world.
And so I've actually had Cindy McGill actually gave me his phone number and said, call him. I'm just too scared to call him. I'm like, I'm scared. I'm just scared of the brother. But Larry, you're here, brother, and
thank
I bless you.
You
in Jesus' name. Welcome to Somerville County, Texas. I'm so glad that you're here, man.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Yes.
So we actually just met for the first time a couple hours ago, right on.
Yeah, it looked like maybe brothers from another mother.
Exactly.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah,
we both have Arkansas connection.
We do have Arkansas connection. That's probably a good place for us to start. Now, I would actually like to start actually by just saying I got saved in 1986, and every since I've been saved, I've known somebody who's known you or has been touched by your ministry or was at some mega conference somewhere and they left their change. And I've always had this thread with you in it somehow.
Wow.
And to have you here with me, man, is just such an honor. I mean it. I mean, do you believe me when
great.
I tell you that?
I do.
So and then you and I got to talking a little bit, and we
yes.
both actually got saved at the same exact place in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got re-saved, actually.
Okay, so, right on.
Yeah, I was Pentecostal at the time, so
okay.
I got saved a lot. But I came back to the Lord, yes, in the same church.
Well, Christian Ministries on Highway 7 north of yep. Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Rook Hill Ranch.
Rook Hill Ranch. My goodness. And What's the name of that prophetic pastor out there? What's her name? Heidi Lou?
Hetty Lou.
Hetty
Brooks.
Lou.
Hetty Lou Brooks. Hetty Lou Brooks was a Methodist Sunday school teacher who started in 1972 or three in her home, filled with the Spirit, and started bringing young people in, Jesus people and Jesus freaks, and anybody wanted to come, and grew that into a church.
I stumbled in there for really bad reasons that I'm not going to go off into, but I ended up there because there was a girl that was graduating high school from their little Christian school there. And I was just waiting for the graduation service to be over. And she came out and she preached, and the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon me.
Yes.
And I actually got saved. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've been a drop dead, sold out Jesus freak ever since.
That's amazing.
Literally the same building you got saved in.
Same building. Yeah,
same
mine
building.
Was about 12 years earlier.
That is incredible.
Yes, but I was a turnaround from the Pentecostal movement. I grew up in the Jesus Name Holiness, Pentecostal, non-united, independent, you know, one of those things. So we didn't know what we were. But I ministered since a kid and decided to be a rock star in my teenage years. And I call it working on my testimony. That yes. was my destiny talking. And yes. Wound up in my early 20s and early 70s in Brook Hill Ranch Christian Ministries. The guy invited me named Russ Taff, who was worship leader at the place at the time. And
that's crazy.
That was our beginnings as far as the Jesus movement, charismatic movement, et cetera.
So that little church out in the middle of nowhere, which again, I'm from Johnson County, Texas, and I didn't know nobody or nothing in Arkansas. And I just, I, as a matter of fact, I think it was the very first time I had ever been to Hot Springs. I think it's the very first time I'd been all over Little Rock, and when I played in bands, I played all over. You know, I'd probably been in Hot Springs once or twice before, probably now that I think about it. But I was there. I had no business being there. I ended up being there. Power of the Holy Spirit is just a destiny, brought me onto that piece of property. I got saved. And there's been some amazing people who have been saved there that the whole world knows about, including yes. Larry Randolph. And who else? So Russ Taff was on staff there?
Russ Taff, the worship director for Christ for the Nations, we counted one time 40 or 50 young men and women around the world that had global ministries that came out of that little church.
So it was actually a place that birthed global ministries. I've never thought about that.
It was.
A global ministry baby maker.
Yes.
Wow.
Pastored by a woman.
Which was
out of context religiously for its time.
Okay, number one, it was right in the middle of the Bible news. Number two, it was during a time that was not accepted.
Not accepted.
And God just did it anyway.
Well, she wore makeup and earrings as well.
My God.
And shaved her legs.
Oh, she showed.
That was against our theology growing up.
My
in
God. Yeah. I don't know why Bible thumpers love French women. I don't know what that's all about. Like, you're not allowed to shave your legs. Crazy. Unless your legs look like a Yeti, honey, you can't be godly. Yeah. I promise you, I do not come from that camp.
We just lost some of the Me Too listeners.
That's okay. I bless them. Okay. Hey, God, just a second. Hey, listen, guys, for those of y'all that are listening on the radio right now, I'm going to take a very short break right here. And you are listening to Larry Randolph, and you are listening to Jamie Galloway. And for everybody that's listening, podcast broadcasts on our 74 radio stations from coast to coast. Guys, we're sweeping the country like a brand new broom, and I'm so glad that you're here. Whenever we come back, guys, Brother Larry is going to be talking about a dream that he had 45 years ago where the Lord spoke to him in an amazing way, and I am going to bring an interpretation to it. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to love this. I'll be right back with you. Hello, my podcast listening friend, you progressive learner, you disciple of Jesus, you intuitive and ingenuitive person, you. Hey, man, this is Troy. I'm going to break in for just a second and remind you that we got so many amazing things coming up, and I want you to know about those things. I do have the trip to Israel that's coming up in the month of March, and it's not just any trip. It is the God TV Arise Zion. Me and a whole bunch of other people are going to be hosting that. You got to find out about it. Go to troybrewer.com. We still have the 2020 Prophetic Conference that's It's called the New Beginnings Conference, where every single person that shows up at the Fort Worth Convention Center is going to get a prophetic word for the year to come from me, from Jamie Galloway, from Patricia King, from Robert Henderson, from Rabbi Jason Sobel. And it's going to be amazing. Amanda Cook is also leading us in praise and worship. And then, of course, Pastor AJ and Open Door Worship. Oh, my goodness. Guys, we have so many things coming up. It's hard to always tell everybody about all the things. So, do you know what? Just simply go to troybrewer.com. All right, let's go back to the podcast. Well, welcome back, everybody. Blessings and peace on you. For all my friends that listen on the radio right now, man. Hey, listen, you are listening. It's Friday, and everybody loves Friday. And on Fridays, we do a podcast broadcast, and I bless that in Jesus' name. So thanks. And listen, if you have signed up for that, be sure and go to troybrewer.com, not Charlie Brewer. Listen through my hillbilly accents, troybrewer.com, and be sure and sign up for that. Or you can go to iHeartRadio or wherever you sign up for such brilliant technology that I know not of. Okay, so I'm in the studio and I am talking with Larry Randolph, and who is a prophetic individual. He's a little bit odd, but I'm getting over that. And you know what? We've been talking about amazing things. One of the things that we're blown away with is we were both actually saved in the same building, same piece of real estate, about 12 years or 14 years apart, something like that. And I promised everybody that was listening that whenever we came back that we would talk about this dream that you had, because it involves constellations. And the Lord speaks prophetically to me through signs of the heavens. And I've been studying that for years and years. So I'm ready. I'm ready when you are, brother. Are you ready, man? Hey, so what about you? What about you, Jamie? You ready?
I'm ready, man.
Jamie Galloway. Okay, let's hear it. What is it?
Oh, the real brief backstory to that was at the church we're talking about, a guy named Russ Taff was leading worship, and we had a rock gospel band, which was illegal back at the time. It was 1973 or 4.
That's very controversial.
It was, that was sort of like being a spirit-filled murderer,
yep,
or something.
Yep.
And but at any rate, so we were going to do our first album called, with a group called Sounds of Joy.
Right.
And I had given my life back to the Lord after playing some of the same nightclubs that you played,
yeah,
before you came back to the Lord, before I,
yes,
came back to the Lord.
Right.
And I worked on my testimony for 6-7 years and then came back with a testimony.
Yep.
And so we had a rock gospel group on the first in the South with Russ Taff and a group there.
What was it called?
Sounds of Joy.
Right on.
This was for Russ Taff, if you know who he is, became
the Imperials, praise the Lord.
Except.
Right on.
So,
yeah.
Long story short, we're going to Nashville out of Hot Springs, Arkansas. This is where we were at the church. We're going to Nashville to cut our first album. And I'd just taken the picture of all of us. Of course, we still had our long hair until we found out Jesus saves and Jesus shaves. That's what someone told us. So we cut that off later after we
Jesus
took the picture. We took the picture first. Yes.
They didn't believe that about the women in church.
Well, they're talking about their legs.
Yeah, their legs, yeah, look like a Yeti. Yeah.
My mother, Jesus named Pentecostal, couldn't shave her leg, but she'd put Nair on her legs, and that was legal.
That Nair was legal.
Nair was a thing that melted, a chemical that melted hair off their legs.
I love religion. I just have such a joy.
Religion's
for
wonderful.
Religion,
I couldn't,
man,
wear a short sleeve shirt because,
okay,
my dad said it was showing my nakedness and somebody might lust after me. So if you ever seen me, that's,
yeah,
not,
yeah, nobody's
a problem.
Ever lusted, that's, after you, Larry.
No,
I'm gonna,
not,
just
especially
say
not
that
my
right
legs
now.
Or my shirt.
So, okay.
Anyway, are my arms. So at any rate, so we were going to do that. We were both in this church, and I was ministering in the church, been ministering since a little boy, other than those backslidden years. And we were going to record, and I was going to be a rock gospel Christian guitarist for the rest of my life. That was my desire. That's how I grew up in church, you know, playing since I was 5 years old and ministering. And so a week before we go to Nashville to cut our first album, I was just really excited about it. I go to sleep, and as I'm asleep, I had a visitation from the Lord. I would call it a night vision. You know, there's a difference between dreams. There's a difference between a vision. Then there's a night vision, which is a dream. But
in the
vision,
book of Daniel, he actually says in the night vision.
He did say that.
In
right.
The book of Daniel actually says night vision.
The night vision.
Yeah.
And I'd had numerous visions. I say numerous, a few visions and encounters from the Lord since a little boy. I can't remember when I didn't know the Lord as a little boy. I was in a Pentecostal church, so I got saved every Sunday. So surely I had to know the Lord. They made me get saved over and over. So at any rate, I had a night vision, and in the night vision, I was with the Russ and the guitar player and the drummer and the other guys, And we were walking through this field, this meadow, like this wheat field or grass field. And we were coming to a bridge. And this bridge was a destiny bridge. I knew that intuitively in the dream. And as I was about to cross the destiny bridge, I was a little bit excited about, wow, I'm going to get out of Arkansas. I'm going to find my destiny. I have a Godship in my heart and always loved him. And I'll just be his rock star. And as I'm saying that, I felt this intense drawing, this intense thing from the heavens, a constellation. As a little boy, I used to lay in my backyard in Arkansas and look at the Big Dipper. I was fascinated by the Big Dipper and fascinated by the stars and natural thing, rain. My dad told me rain was God crying over me. So I love to lie in the rain at night and look at the stars. That was my world. That was my God connect.
Love it.
And so I'd spend hours as a little boy laying under oak trees looking at the constellation at night. And so I felt this sense of the constellation, the sky. And I looked to the sky. I looked to my favorite thing in the sky, which was the Big Dipper.
Okay.
But in this night vision, Troy, the Big Dipper was not just one Big Dipper. It was a mirrored. It was a two, and they were together.
Yep.
And the points were together. And so we had a Big Dipper on the right and a Big Dipper on the left pointed toward each other.
Wow.
And but they seemed like they were four or five times bigger than the normal constellation, like it was a magnified Big Dipper.
There you go. Magnified is the word.
And as the guys looked at me in this night vision, and I know I'm awake, I can see the room, I can see them. I'm in a three-dimensional space because that's where God lives. God lives in three-dimensional space. And sometimes he invites us to experience that. So I'm in this three-dimensional space, the God that was, is, and is yet to come. And I know I'm seeing life destiny. And as I'm watching life destiny, and I'm looking at them about to cross the bridge, and they're going like this, come on. They're waving at me, come on, come on. And I can't. I'm stuck to the ground. And as I look to the sky, what stuck me was the Big Dippers. And the Big Dippers, as I looked at them, I turned my head up. They began to turn on their axes. And when they did, it was like the universe or the constellation was turning on its axes. And as they did, I noticed that both of the Dippers were full of a liquid. I don't know what kind. I just know that there was something in them. And I'd remember the Psalms as a little boy, my cup runneth over, and Psalms 23. So I knew it was like in the cup of the Big Dipper, there was
Absolutely.
Oil, anointing or whatever. Acronym, or acronym was the wrong word, but whatever verbiage you want to give to it. And as it began to turn, whatever was in the dipper began to come together into one stream. So both the dippers produced one stream, and by the time it reached the top of my head, Troy, it hit me at the top of my head, and it was probably in measurement 8 or 10 gallons in human terms of it. And as it hit my head, it rolled down my face and down the front of my cheek and off my ears and dripped onto my shoulders. And as it did, it was the most amazing, astounding, mystical, mystifying, awe-feeling thing I'd ever experienced. To this day in my life, I remember I couldn't catch my breath because it took my breath away.
Wow.
And as it went down my body all the way to my feet, completely to my feet, what I noticed was the two Big Dippers didn't just pour it out. They poured it out till there was not a drop left in either Big Dipper, and I had received the measurement of both from both dippers full. Everything that was in it was on me now and ran down to the ground to my feet. And I thought that was the end. I'm looking, at the bridge again, and the guys are still there waiting on me like we're going to Nashville. And I knew that in a moment, not that my destiny had changed, my perception had changed. Destinies don't change. We have to find them. You don't find destinies. Destinies find you at the most inconvenient time. And so my destiny had found me, and as I look back up again to see the dippers, I notice that it's not just the dippers. There's something else that seems even more perplexing, mysterious to me. At the time, it was like my left, but then it seemed like it was in the east. I got my directions confused because I went back and read the verbiage I'd written later. I thought it was the west, but it actually said east when I wrote it down, so I didn't understand that. But as I looked to that, I saw what was a pure white, so white that it was dazzling white that I could hardly look at it. It was that pure. And again, it took my breath away because of the purity of it and of the and the brilliance of this white. And it was a white cane, like a cane. Not a candy cane, but more like a walking cane that an older person would use, like a cane. And as I saw the white cane, I knew that when those dippers had been poured out, that would be also a part of the constellation. It had nothing to do with the constellation. It was out of place, seemingly, but yet it was in such, so in place, because the white, I remember the scripture my dad had taught me, white is the righteousness of the saints. And for why I remember that, I don't know, but I remember that. So at any rate, I woke up from the dream. And the next day, I go tell the guys, I can't do this.
You can't become a rock star now.
I can't be a rock star. I love Jesus. I want to play, I want to play You Gotta Change Your Evil Ways by Santana and turn it into a Christian song, I'm still doing that. I mean, lately, all I can hear in the last, for 2020, by the way, is there's something coming in the air tonight. I've been waiting for this moment all my life.
All my life.
And I can hear the tom-toms going, oh, Lord. Yeah. So I love songs. God talks me through songs.
Mike Tyson punch at the end of it.
Everything in my life's a song. And so I told them, I can't do this. I'm going. And, of course, they set me down, cast a whole swine herd of devils out of me, they thought. And I'd heard
so
wrong.
They didn't get it.
They didn't get it.
No, they're like, there's no way you can quit band. I mean, this is it, dude.
Yeah.
It's like you can't. And they did go on. And especially Russ became one of the most world famous. And God used him in such a great way.
Oh, Grammy Award after Grammy Award. Yep.
And you walked away from that.
I walked away and turned and went back and came on board as a staff pastor at the same church.
So how many years ago was that?
It was 73 or 74. So I don't know. I've never been accused of being the greatest mathematician. But somewhere like that, 45.
Okay.
I'm 70 this year. I'll be 70 in November this year.
I want to catch you up on some current events. Lindbergh made it. I don't know if you... Okay. But all right. So I'm sorry. I'm funny, man.
Yeah, funny.
I cracked myself up. All right. So have you shared this throughout the years, some 40 years? Have you shared this?
40-something years. Not from a pulpit that I remember, but just to different people. I have wondered about this. I'm prophetic, and you know how the prophetic is. It's like the shoemaker that doesn't have good shoes. Like most prophetic people don't know which side of the bed to get up on for their self. Yes. And because it's a gift.
A gift is for
equipping the saints, not for equipping you.
Yes.
And I've asked over and over, and I've been through numerous prophetic. Some of the greatest in the world have told me, and they've been partly true. As you said, there's an onion peel layer of reality to what they said. It's not the whole pomegranate. And so I've been saying, Lord, I know what that means. And I talked to you. And before I came here, by the way, this is the first time we've met.
Yeah, I've never heard this before. Yeah, I mean, before.
And never heard. And Jamie was telling me a little bit about constellations. I said, he understands constellations, me and him. He are going to talk about a constellation dream I had over 40 years ago that consumes my life. Because after that, I had a couple other visitations that were tandem to that as well. But anyway, go ahead. And you started telling me about the interpretation. And you know what? It rang true. And I go, wow.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Podcast listener. Hey, man, I'm sitting in the studio here. And Mason and I are talking. We're like, hey, we need to do just a brief, tiny 1 minute interruption and remind people that if they need prayer, that they can call us. And you can. If you need prayer, if you need resources, if you need information about the New Beginnings Prophetic Conference for the 2020 year to come, or if you need information about the Arise Zion Israel Tour from March 23rd, I think it is, to the 31st, if you need information about Open Door Church, or how we're saving girls out of sexual trafficking, or how you can partner with us, all of that is found at troybrewer.com, or you can call 877-413-0888. Please be sure and let people know about this podcast and the amazing ministry that all of us as partners are doing together. All right, let's go back to the podcast. Here we go. When you tell me this about an hour ago, I was like, "Do we have to record this?" Because this is number one. I am so honored that the Lord has brought you and I together, and He's put me in a position to be able to look cool for just a second. Because I have nothing to give you, man. I feel like a little boy when I'm around you. I'm like, I can't believe I'm sitting here with Larry Rudolph or whatever your name is. And I've just been like,
man,
and honestly, I mean, I've known about you my whole life. And then before we got connected the other day, literally I was with Cindy McGill. Have you ever heard of Cindy McGill?
Listen, I know Cindy and Dale really
bad.
Well.
Okay.
We're all a legend in our own mind, all of us.
Cindy and I were literally doing a prophetic street ministry in downtown Fort Worth with a team of people on the 31st of December. And then a good friend of mine named Josh Weathers played in downtown Fort Worth. And Anyway, some crazy cool stuff as the ball dropped, which in the downtown Fort Worth means the cowboy hat. That's what it was, which was cool. And there were some 20, 30,000 people there. And she mentioned you several different times and said, I had to be connected to you. And the very next day, I was talking to Jamie, and Jamie's like, bro, do you know him? I was like, no, I don't. He's like, we got to meet him. You got to meet him, and we got to do this prophetic thing. So we're going to be filming stuff for God TV tomorrow, and it's going to be a hoot. But we're here. And I just know, man, that it is such alignment. So I'm going to give you my spin on this, and I'm going to throw this out there to you. And I very humbly give this to you. As I told you when I first talked to you, I say the same thing as Amos says. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm a feller of sycamore trees. I'm a lumberjack. I'm a hillbilly. I don't know why I'm in a position to do this, but I'm going to do this. So I'm going to tell you this. What you experienced was Psalms 133. Okay. So blessed are the, you know, it goes off and says, oh, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that flowed down Aaron's head, down his beard, all the way down his feet. And this is a different Psalm 133 experience that is, and it specifically says Aaron. And that's amazing to me because of another big part of your dream. But if God shows you a dream, or if the Lord speaks to you through the stars, is not the same as if God speaks to you through the sun or the moon. If God, you know, Jesus says that there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And if God speaks through the sun, he's speaking to the nations, and he's speaking concerning natural events and humanity. If God is speaking through the moon, he is speaking to his bride, the church, or he's speaking to his people, Israel. And it has to do with who he is in covenant with. But if God is speaking through the stars, he's speaking to his children of inheritance. Okay? And it has to do, it specifically has to do with inheritance, and it has to do with being his child. Okay? So, and that's a completely different relationship, right? Completely different. So you have this dream at a time in your life where you're so excited about moving forward, becoming a rock star, doing the thing. And God interrupts you by showing you the Big Dipper. And he shows you the Big Dipper, and he shows you the Big Dipper, and it's mirrored. And that is a big deal. Anytime that God meets you in a place of a mirror, if God shows you something and then also shows you the reflection, that is one thing. And like Paul says, now I see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. Okay, you know that the word glass literally means looking glass, or it means mirror. So it says we're kind of looking in a foggy mirror, but someday we're actually going to fully see God by seeing our reflection.
Yes.
Okay, so it has to do with how a relationship influences you. So one is speaking of the thing. The other thing is speaking of the influence or the transformation that comes from the influence of that. Okay?
Yes.
So here it is. You're looking at the Big Dipper. Okay, so when it comes to physics, or when it comes to astronomy, or when it comes to any of that, the Big Dipper is known as Ursa Major. And Ursa Major has seven stars in it. Yes. And you told me before that you actually counted and that there were 14 stars, right?
Yes.
And there's 14 there because it's mirrored. And so Ursa Major is there, or the Big Dipper. And in the Bible, whenever God is talking to Job and he says, can you loose the bands of Orion? Can you follow the bear and her cubs? He's literally saying, can you go the direction that the Big Dipper is pointing you? Okay? So that's what he's saying in the book of Job.
So the bear or cubs would be, that's the trailing stars, in that dipper are the cubs.
Yeah. So the box of the Big Dipper is the bear, and then the two behind it are the two little cubs.
Cubs.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, in any kind of modern astronomy, what you see is a bear that has a tail, which is ridiculous. Bears don't have long tails. Okay. But that's how that works. So whenever you see the Big Dipper, it's one of the most northern constellations. Okay. And the thing of the Big Dipper is that it points to Polaris, or the northern star. Okay. Now, let me say this before I tell you about the northern star, and its job is to point to that, is that the Big Dipper has seven stars in it. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven stars that are in the hand of Jesus are seen in the midst of the candle, of the midst of the seven candlesticks, which represents his manifest presence.
Yes.
It's a big deal for God to remove his candlestick or his manifest presence and say, if you want to do church without me, you can. Boom, I will remove my candlestick, right? That's what he tells the, the church of the Ephesians. Okay, so you find the angels of the church in the midst of the manifest presence of Jesus, okay? So you see this, and again, am I unpacking too much about Ursa Major, or are you guys cool?
This is right on, man.
Okay, so there's something else, too, that you need to know about Ursa Major or the Big Dipper, is it was called Ursa Major all the way up until 1849. After 1849, they changed the name to the Big Dipper, because what happened was, in 1848, they discovered gold in California.
Wow.
And then the people who went to St. Louis, Missouri, and they got equipped, and then they left St. Louis, and they went to go chase after gold in California. Those are called the 49ers, just like the San Francisco 49ers, right? Well, all those hillbilly children had no television, they had no radio, they had to walk all day long, and they followed a wagon, and on the back of every single wagon is a giant water bucket, right? Like a 20-gallon water bucket. And there's a giant spoon that's called the Big Dipper. And so there'd be tons and tons of times throughout the day where those kids would get thirsty, and mama would hop up there in the back of that, and she'd grab the Big Dipper, and she'd give that spoon to their kids, and they'd drink. So at nighttime, while they were out there, no light noise whatsoever. Wow. The stars were amazing. And there's some hillbilly child that said, look, Pa, it's a Big Dipper. And it stuck.
Wow.
It freaking stuck. It changed by the 49ers, which is 7 times 7. Okay.
Wow.
All right. Are you with me on that?
Got it.
Okay. So you're looking at the Big Dipper, and there's two sevens, which is also 7 times 7. That's funny. And these two Big Dippers, and the job of the Big Dipper is to point to the North Star. The North Star, or Polaris, which is at the exact axis of the north part of the Earth, means that all the other stars rotate around it. It's the one star that doesn't move, and all the other stars rotate around it. It represents the throne of God. So when you see the throne in the book of Revelation, everything circles the throne. The 24 elders, the angels of God, and it even says, and the hosts of heaven circled the throne, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is yet to come, right? Worthy is the Lamb, yada, yada. Okay, so just exactly like in the natural, the hosts of heaven circle Polaris, which represents the throne of God. The job of the Big Dipper, which is the job of the church, the seven angels of the church, is to point everybody to the throne of Jesus. That's great, and I love that. However, in your dream, you're looking at the Big Dipper, but you're facing south because your left is east.
Yes.
Okay, now this is a trip to me. This blows my mind. Because one of the things I like to tell people is, I say, it's really good to follow the Big Dipper north, but it's just as important to follow the Big Dipper south. Because the two pointer stars of the Big Dipper don't just point north, they also point south. And at south, they point to the King Star, which is Regulus, which is the heart of Leo the Lion, which represents the triumphant king, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Wow.
And that's who, in your dream, you were facing south. You weren't going to the throne, which is functional heaven, which is, this is who you are, this is your place, this is what you do. You're going to the heart of King Jesus. One is the work of God and the work of heaven, the throne. The other one is the heart and the passion of God, which is to the south. Okay? Wow. And so you see that. And then you see a cane. That is Aaron's rod. That is Aaron's rod is what that is. It's seen in the heavens. It's seen through the stars. And you had just experienced a Psalms 133 anointing, which says it's like the anointing that the oil that flows on Aaron and goes all the way down to his feet. Yeah. And that light that hits you on top of the head from the Big Dipper, right?
Yes.
Was literally something that flowed all the way through your body. So at that very moment, what God was saying is, you're not crossing this bridge. You're not crossing this with them. You were literally in a harvest field, right? You're going through a field with tall grass, and you were in the harvest with those guys.
Yes.
But now God's going to have you not chase after the dream of ministry, which is the throne. Now he's going to have you chase after the passion of Jesus, which is the King Star, which is the heart of the king.
Oh. You know what we say in Arkansas?
What?
You're smarter than seven hogs. I just thought I'd say that. But no, that is, wow. I mean, that is so helpful when you told me that just an hour or so.
Man, I have been thinking about it ever since you died. I don't remember if I told you this or not, but Regulus is actually 77 light years away. Did I tell you that?
You did.
Okay. Can I repeat it for the sake of the listeners? So 77 means the church. The word church is in the Bible 77 times. Term house of God is in the Bible 77 times. There's 77 generations from Jesus to Adam, right? There's a whole bunch of words that are in the Bible 77 times that always have to do with redeemed people and people who belong to Jesus.
Yes.
And that's what's in the heart of King Jesus is his people, his church, yes. His bride, right?
Yes.
So the Lord caused you to sell out for something completely different that nobody else could see or even understand.
And you know, can I add just a snippet of what I got?
Please do.
2 minutes or three?
No, you're good. You got a couple minutes.
It was, I didn't understand all that now, but I now see the thread of Revelation. Destiny is a tapestry, you know,
it's a mosaic of pieces
of Revelation that fall into place, living tapestry. And it wasn't just a couple of years later, now that I never understood why I had a visitation, not even 2 years later from the Lord himself. And I was awake in the middle of the night, and the Lord walked up to my bedroom window and stood there, and it wasn't a vision. I was wide awake. It was the Lord, and it was the most. And everything in the room turned red. Everything in the atmosphere was the most warm, inviting.
Everything turned red. You was in the red room.
It's a color red.
I've been in the gold room, and I've been in the blue room.
You don't want to the blue room. You got to feel. Yeah. That's the awe of God. You don't want to mess with that.
I know those. I know those places. Wow.
And the Lord stood there, and I knew it was the Lord Jesus.
I've been in the red room,
and I couldn't breathe. The red was so heavy, and it came out of him, and it formed as a mist at the top of the ceiling of my
room.
King Jesus. But it was coming from his heart. And as it came into the room, it formed at the top of the mist, and I realized what I was seeing was agape love in tangible form. It was like a cloud. It was agape love. And it began to fall. As it did, it went into my mouth, into my nose, and I began to choke. Not in a bad way, because I was breathing agape love of God. It was the most unconditional love. Nothing could ever separate me from it. His love, his heart, to know him, to call the church to know him, for me to know him as I am known. And as it went in, and as I breathed it in, at this time, the Lord had never said anything to me at all. And I'll hurry real quick, too long. And he looked through the window. I could not see full face. I could just see the shadow of the face. And he said to me, "Larry, look at your hands." And what a crazy thing. I don't know where heaven is. It's a long way away for God to come all the way to heaven to tell me to notice my hands is really weird. But I lifted up my hands and I looked at him. He said, "You're awesomely and wonderfully made after my image." He said, "Do you know why I put your hands on your arm?" I thought, what a crazy thing for, I mean, I'm having a visitation. Instead of some kind of a theological question.
Yeah, exactly. You ever thought about your hands?
Yeah.
How cool are your hands, Larry?
Eschatological thing about the end times, whatever. He's saying, why your hands? He said, I put them on your hands as an extension of your heart. And he said, I want my heart in this world. I want you to know my heart. And I'm not here. Your hands have to be my heart.
Oh, my God.
And so he said, and I began to weep. And he said, and I began to wiggle my fingers. I looked. He said, no one has your hands. No one has your fingerprints. No one has your DNA. No one has your destiny. You are a piece of my heart that only you own. There's no one else like you.
You're authentic.
You were a dream come true in my life, like every other child of mine, but you're different. You have something to give. And as he began to talk to me about the love of God, he showed me scene after scene where he took the little children and put them in his lap.
Yep.
And the religious church were mad at him for having Sunday school. And when he touched the blind man, and he said, he reminded me of the scripture, and Jesus was moved with compassion. Then he healed the multitudes, and he course corrected me right then and adjusted me that I should never chase gifts and power. I should chase the love of God and the heart of God, because I have to learn to lead with my head and let my gift follow. Because all of my life I've wrestled not doing that. I've seen guys do. They lead with their gift, hoping their character will catch up with them one day, or hoping. You know, gifts are wonderful, but gifts should be a byproduct of the love of God. Yes. Jesus, you know, what Corinthians yes. say, pursue love, then desire spiritual gifts.
That's right.
Not a church that's dyslexic and, you know, and the Lord will show me all this. And but yeah. this is a point, and I want to stop here because I'm going too long. He said at the end of that, it was like I was weeping. I thought nothing. I have never understood the love of God like that. His love. It was so nothing in the universe, in the world, eternity could ever separate me from that. But then he showed me something beyond that. He showed me there was a greater thing he would take me to that I had to pass through that, understand that love before he showed me the Father. He said, one day before you die, I will show you the Father. And you can't, because no man cometh to the Father except through my heart. That's the only way you get there. People say they know God. They don't know him. I want you to know me, and I want you to know my Father. And I want to present you to my Father before you go to see him. I want you him to see you before you see him. Like a prize, I want to present you and your heart to him. And so my life has been that knowing, you know, the Lord. And I was reminded of the scripture. Oh, I'm going to remind the scripture where the woman came to Jesus and said, which one of my sons can sit at your right and your left hand in the kingdom? And Jesus didn't say we're all equal. He basically said relationship is related to proximity in heaven. Mm-hmm. They said, can I sit on your right hand or left hand? He said, it's not for me to give, it's for the Father to give. And others came to him and said, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we? Can we sit?
Oh,
but he said,
what about us?
I never knew you. So power and gifts are part. It didn't mean I never knew you. Go got to help, but back up. This space is safe for someone who's become my friend, who knows my heart.
That's outstanding.
And so I got to see my life is not about this world. My life's not about ministry. My life is about preparing for another life that's going to be an eternity. Paul said, I'm working for a better resurrection. I'm
yes.
looking for a place and at the throne of God. I want to be on as close to the as proximity. If you're in the back row of heaven, that's still better than the front row of the other place. So that's not a problem. But I like that. So I was so bonded in that. It's like my purpose and my goal. For that, and it's been a hard road all my life for that. And I've just now at 70 gotten to where I've written. I've written 4 books, my 5th book, and on equipping, but this one is on Friend of God, a divine awakening to return to your first love.
Yeah, and that's the difference between going north or going south.
Going south. I'm sorry, I said a lot to.
So,
sorry.
Right on.
I talk for a living. I'm sorry. It takes
okay.
a long time.
I know it's but I know better than to turn that over to a preacher, man. It's all good. So, going north means going into the service of God.
Yes.
Going into the service of God, which is beautiful. Going south means going into the heart of God. And so, one is functional, one's relational.
Jesus said, you have many servants, but, but not many friends. I no longer call you service.
Larry, I thank you so much for sharing that with me, man.
You're welcome.
And thank you for sharing something so personal. I'm so grateful, man. I'm so grateful.
Thank
and thank you for being here at Third Stage Ranch. I'm so grateful.
Yes. And you can edit all that stuff out, except for about the smart 7
hogs. I'm not going to edit any of it.
Yeah, hey, how about the 7 heart thing? I like that. 7 hogs.
So, hey, no, I won't edit that out. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Jamie Galloway, man, before we close here, I know that there's a lot of people listening. And so what would you say if people are like, dude, I don't have encounters like that. I don't see things like that. I've never done anything like that. What can people do to prep themselves to have those kinds of encounters?
You know, for me, if I don't have an encounter, I start reading out of the menu. The scripture to me is like a menu. And every time I open it up, I get to order from that menu.
That's great.
And so every time I read something from the scripture, I just go, God, that's what I want. I would love an encounter like that. And you know, one of the things that I like about you, Troy, whenever I hang around you, you're always showing me something out of the word that's always been there, but it's like I'm seeing it for the first time. And then I could take that menu and go, come on, Lord, I want this word to become flesh in my life. I want it to be real. I want it to be something that I could touch. You know, Jesus himself, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory.
Yes.
And when we do that, when we read the word with the intent that God wants to give me an experience that is just not logical. It's just not going to increase my brain size, but it's going to increase my heart capacity. When we do that with that intent, God's going to give us those encounters.
So, Jamie, Larry, would you please pray for everybody that's listening? Can we go into just... I don't know. We've got like 3 minutes left. Can you do like a minute and a half of just praying that God would just do what you do. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. Lord, well, we thank you.
Jesus.
What an amazing dream.
Jesus.
Jesus, you're so good. God, that you know the end from the beginning. Lord, you know our days. You've numbered our days. For those that are listening, they're hearing this message and they're going, God, do you see me? Do you know where I'm at? Do you know the bridge that I'm about to cross? Lord, I ask right now that those that are listening right now would hear this. They would hear this message and that Jesus. Faith would emerge and you would give them a download, a dream. And maybe it's a dream that, like Larry, it took 45 years to finally unpack. Maybe you have one of those dreams that God has given you. But God, I ask you to send the right person at the right time, Lord, as you begin to unpack the potential and the power of that dream so that we could see those dreams that you've put in the hearts of your people become reality. Thank you, God, that you are the God who gives dreams. You're the God who gives vision. You're the God who gives destiny. And I ask you to do that in the heart of everyone listening for this year, for this decade. And we thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Well, Larry Randolph, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, sir. Thank
you. Amen. Jamie Galloway, I bless you, my friend.
Yeah.
Jamie, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
They can go to jamiegalloway.com.
And Larry, how do they do that? Send up smoke signals? How does that work for you?
Smoke signals. Well, a shofar.
That work.
That's Living Rain Ministries.
LivingRainMinistries.com
or Larry Randolph Ministries.
All right.
Or Paytonville Baptist Church. That's what I'm doing now. So for a little while. Yes.
Well, friends, you've been listening to a podcast with the amazing Larry Randolph and also, too, with the slightly impressive Jamie Galloway and always entertaining Troy Brewer. I bless you guys, man. Thank you so much for joining me today. Friends, I love you guys. Thank you so much. Hey, tell people about our podcast. And until the next time, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.